it came down to a point with me when I was driving home one day, and I just said, you know, I know God's calling us to do this. I would rather obey and not know what the future holds than disobey and spend the rest of my life knowing that I disobeyed.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy.
We have heard David Mobley speak at Vintage Downtown, where Michael and I attend regularly. He's also preached at Durham and North, so a lot of you guys listening have probably seen him before, but this was our first time to actually meet him.
During our time together today, he talks about kind of his path, how he got to where he's at now at Vintage and planting Vintage West. It's great to hear his energy and his excitement about what's going to be happening at Vintage West in the Apex and Cary areas. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into his story.
So we're here with David Mobley. A lot of you guys probably know who David is, but you might not know a lot about him. So that's what we're going to dig into in this podcast. And I'll let him introduce himself in a minute. But first, I'm going to just share some random facts that I found about him on Facebook.
Nice.
He likes smoking his own barbecue.
That is totally true.
He weightlifts in his garage.
True.
Wait, I thought you CrossFit.
I do CrossFit.
By yourself?
Which includes weightlifting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes on your own in your garage.
Yeah.
He shared a delicious breakfast recipe to put your Rice Krispies in chocolate milk.
Ooh, I do remember that.
Sounds really good.
It was really good. Yeah. I don't know why anyone hadn't picked that up yet.
I don't think that's an actual legitimate breakfast recipe.
Sure, why not?
That's a treat.
I didn't say it was a healthy breakfast. He describes his family as hashtag mob squad,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty awesome.
There's a big debate in my family of who came up with that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm officially giving you credit here on this recording.
Thank you. Yep, that's all we need.
That's official. It'll be out there forever.
Yeah.
His dog squawks like a chicken.
She does. She does this weird thing where someone comes to the door, or even she just doesn't bark. She does. That's what she does. And she walks around like she's this, you know, boss, like barking like a chicken. I'm like, what is wrong with
she
you?
She grew up on a farm, maybe?
I don't know. We've got her since she was like 6 weeks old, and that's just what she always did. She doesn't bark, which is great because that can be annoying, but instead she barks like a chicken, you know?
That's
like,
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So those are just some fun facts. I know you weren't always in ministry, so maybe just give us like a brief sort of bio, like your family, what you used to do for work, how you joined Vintage.
So I grew up knowing of Jesus a lot, went through confirmation, did that process and learned a lot, but it wasn't until during my sophomore year, that's when my now wife Lauren and I started dating, and my sweet mate invited me to Vintage 21 at the time. And I just fell in love with the place because the atmosphere was different than any church you would go to at the time. And really, it was the first church that I felt like it was okay to engage my mind in like the study of the Bible instead of like okay, we all have faith here. Let's just talk about X, Y, and Z. Like it was like, wow, I can really explore and learn here. It kind of felt like. And Lauren and I just really fell in love with Vintage and started serving, got plugged into a community group. Around that time, sophomore year, we were going through the book of Ecclesiastes, of all things. And it was in that group, that one of those nights where it's like God just opened up my eyes to see him. And I was like, that's who Jesus is. It was just one of those things that you hear from, that people may say of like, God just opened up my eyes. And that's what happened to me. After is when I felt called to ministry, and not just ministry, but specifically church planting, which I didn't even know really what that was. I mean, Vintage talked about planting churches, but it wasn't like I was so familiar with it that I was like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Like I literally felt God say, here I am, you see me, right? I'm calling you into ministry and to plant churches. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. And that was sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of sat on that for a little bit because that's kind of weird. And, you know, after talking through it with my family and praying about it, the decision was kind of like, finish the engineering degree. Mm-hmm. You're halfway done. Let's get you involved with ministry, but maybe not full time. And we'll just see how this continues to play out. And so Lauren and I led a community group on NC State's campus. Mm-hmm. God just blew it up. Like it got to like 25 people or something. Like making dinner was just ridiculous. We couldn't do it. We couldn't fit in the tiny apartment. And so we planted another group and God just was moving in my life, my own heart, as we led that group to kind of just continue to reveal more and more of like, this is what this may look like for you type mm-hmm. thing, or this is what I'm calling you to. I had a job offer after an internship in Charlotte, the nuclear engineering firm, basically. We did design engineering for nuclear power plants. Mm-hmm. And I took that job because that was 2009. The economy wasn't the best. And I was like, I want to marry Lauren, so I want to get this job. And so took that. And so Lauren and I knew that we were eventually going to move back to Charlotte after senior year. We were there for 5 years. After a couple of church visits in Charlotte, we found a church called Hope Church. It's not affiliated with the Hope Church that's here in Raleigh, but at that time they may have been maybe a three-year-old church plant. And so we joined, and that Sunday morning that I was there, I just really felt like God was calling us there. And Lauren and I both felt it individually and separately. And so we decided to join that church and met with that pastor and just kind of shared with him kind of the calling that God had on my life and that I felt I was called to ministry and church planting, maybe not now, but in the future. So all this time, I'm doing nuclear engineering design. Everything that we were doing with the church then was lay, just volunteer. Mm-hmm. And the pastor, you know, essentially his guidance was like, just kind of start your way at the bottom and work up. So like join a group, right? Lead a group and just see where that goes. And so we joined a community group a few months or maybe a year later. So we led a group. And then basically after that, I became the community group's director for that church and was writing, you know, study guides based off sermons that were preached and text on Sundays and stuff. About the early 2015 timeframe, you know, this calling still never went away, no matter how long I wanted it to almost, you know what I mean? Like yeah. It was just always there. And Lauren and I just felt like the next step is to go back to Vintage. We didn't know what for, yeah. But we just felt like coming back to Vintage is that next step, whatever that may be. Met with the pastor in Charlotte and kind of explained it to him that it wasn't like we want to leave or anything, but we just really feel called to this. And we all kind of went our separate ways and prayed about it and came back. And he said, yeah, we agree. We moved here in May of 2015. The goal at that time was really to come to downtown to be kind of part of an established church just to see like what's next for us. But we actually didn't mean to. We kind of fell into an apartment that at the time we didn't even know was probably 2 miles from Midtown. And we just love church planning. And so I think we came downtown for a couple weeks and then, you know, we had a young daughter, sleep schedules, and also just being close and loving church planning. We're like, we're going to just stick with Midtown. And that's where I met with Tanner Griffith, who is the pastor of now Vintage Church North. Midtown became North. Mm-hmm. Explained my story to him and just said, like, I kind of just want to be here and be a part of a church for a little bit and just see how things shakes out. So that's what we did. A few years later, Tanner kind of reached out to me and just said, like, I really think you should pursue the eldership process with Vintage, not knowing what that may look like for you, but let's just start that. But it quickly became more than an eldership process. It really became discerning, what is this next step for me in terms of mm-hmm. ministry and life and whatnot? And so continued that eldership process all the way through the beginning of 2018. And that's kind of when we knew, like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to leave this career and join mm-hmm. Vintage for this church planting residency, not really knowing what the future may hold, but knowing that, like, that's what God's calling us to.
Obviously, you had a vision of what that looked like and the impact you would be able to leverage, you know, use God to leverage you to make an impact on his people. So talk a little bit about what that vision looked like, because I think that's kind of maybe some of the heart behind the motivation. I'd love to hear more.
There was just something about getting to be on the front lines of seeing God build something from the ground up. And now that I'm walking in that with West, I've seen it and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Words can't express just watching God, because there are so many things involved with church planting that I had no idea that would exist, that I don't know will exist. But like, I know God's working behind the scenes, because there's so many things that just come up or that work, and it's just pure favor and it's direction, it's grace, it's all it's God building his church. And he's just called me to be an under shepherd of it. But it's so amazing to be on a journey of just being with God as he builds his church, instead of me going and starting a church. They're two mm-hmm. different things, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just been really cool. And that's been a really good learning process for me too. Let's be honest. How many people, when you're a sophomore in college and your boyfriend, I mean, it might have been 6 months into the dating, says, like, I think I'm called to ministry. How many people would stay? Or like think it's serious?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Totally.
And the beautiful thing about Lauren is that it wasn't just, this is what I think I'm dealing with, and she's like, okay, well, you should deal with that. Mm-hmm. It became us. Like she encouraged the dreaming. She encouraged the frustration. She encouraged the what's next. There would be so many people that would just say, that's your own thing. Deal with it. I don't want to mess with that. Or, you know, maybe in the back of their mind say like, I'm in it for however long this may not happen. But once it happens, like, I don't know if I can be on board with that. And just, man, I'm telling you, from day one, she affirmed it. Not like go plant right now, but yeah. She affirmed like, man, I really do feel like I can see God working in your life. And ministry became something that we did together, which was so amazing. I mean, we led the community group together. She had a apartment on State's campus, so she hosted it. You know, it is a roller coaster of a journey, and one where I might have to feel the temptation of like, for the good of my family and my marriage, I need to be steady in this so that she doesn't see fear in me. But that's not how it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're each other's opposite sometimes, where it's like, I can be terrified and say like, why am I doing this? Which I say sometimes now in the process, right? Yeah. And she's the one there saying, well, you're doing it because God called you. Mm-hmm. To have someone living with you as your spouse that can always point you back to, it's not about you, it's about who God is and what he's doing. Like, that's just such a blessing.
So as you're working on planting Vintage West, I've seen there's been a lot of different events going on, and some people are sort of committing to be part of that core group going over there. Can you tell us about how that's been going?
Really, when we set out to do Vintage Church West, I kind of realized that we're not a typical model. Typically, you have autonomous church or you have multi-site streaming. I'm not ripping on either one, but that's the typical approach. You either plant an autonomous kind of standalone church, or you plant another campus that streams the preaching pastor, pastor, right?
When you said it at first, I was like, I don't know what that is. But then I was like, oh, wait, no, I've been to those churches.
Right.
We've been to
and again, some. I'm not saying either one. I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying there's different. My point is this. We're neither of those is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we are a vintage church, but that has local preaching. So that's different than the multi-site. And we also kind of, you know, do this contextualization piece of it, where we all hold the same doctrine. Mm-hmm. You'll see the same DNA traits at each church, like doubter seeker followers, Jesus is worthy of our lives, we believe in authenticity, that type thing. You'll see the same attempt to go after goals that we have for the triangle, but you see it through the lens of contextualization. So like I said, we don't fit into the autonomous mold, we don't fit into the multi-site streaming, so we fall somewhere in between. And as I was really just praying and thinking through, like, what is this gonna look like for the year of pre-launch phase? That was the mindset that I was thinking of, is how does this work for us? It's not going to make sense to force the autonomous model on us. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to make sense to force the streaming either, right? And so, you know, no more than just praying about it every single day and walking through this, I just felt like what we need to do is set up opportunities in the summer called fellowship opportunities for folks to get to know one another. And let's work on things where like the ring of intimacy gets closer and closer, right? So the first event that we did in June was just a baseball game. So the thought behind that was like, you could come, you could sit right next to someone, you could stand face to face and talk for 3 hours, be super intimate if you want to, or you could say that you attended the baseball game and just sit at your seat and watch the game, and you're still part of the event, if that makes sense. You could choose what level of intimacy that you wanted to be a part of and just get to see who's coming to West. Because to come from downtown, you know, 3-4 services and however many adults and kids we have, there's a chance that someone coming to West, you've sat beside 5 times and you had no idea.
Yeah.
And that's what some of these, you know, fellowship events were meant to be. In July, we did a picnic at Apex Community Park. And that's really, we just did a potluck dinner. We brought the barbecue, folks brought insides, and we just hung out together. And we also did some just kind of announcements of where we are and where we were going. But again, like the ring is getting closer, you see, of like, well, now we're sharing a meal together. We're hearing announcements and vision. The last event that we did was in August. We served at Laurel Park Elementary School, where we'll be meeting, and we painted their hallways. Mm-hmm. So now we've got the most intimate. Now we're like picking up paintbrushes and serving together and seeing change happen and loving and serving our community. So we went from like watching a baseball game together to serving together. And so it just allowed for opportunities for folks to get to know one another. And if they felt like God was calling them to Vintage Church West, you would get more intimate, more intimate, more intimate to get to know folks. So that's what the summer looked like in terms of just building that core team. I think that answers the first part. And then this fall, we've kind of gone even more intimate, obviously, with we started new Vintage Church community groups. So now we're meeting in our own new groups of folks that are going to West. And then we're also doing corporate core group meetings.
So when does it all kick off? When are you planning on doing your first service?
Starting in December, we'll do dry launch services. So I think it's December 1st is the first Sunday in December. That's when we're going to do dry launch. It's just kind of internal to Vintage. The first one is probably just going to be a ton of learning the kinks of setup and teardown, mm-hmm. how to transform an elementary school's multi-purpose room into a sanctuary, mm-hmm. and how to transform first grade classrooms into kids' church, and how to put up signage and all that type stuff. But really, weeks 2, 3, and 4, we're trying to hold service. So, you know, week 1 is let's just figure it out. But then the rest of those weeks in December, let's really practice having a service so that we're ready for our public launch. And we're like 99.9%. I can say like we're going to have our own Christmas Eve service. We're just working out those logistics. But nice. Tuesday, December 24th, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service completely open to the public, mm-hmm. having folks invite their family and friends and their loved ones to come to Christmas Eve at West and invite them for our public launch, which will be January 5th of 2020. So that's the first Sunday in 2020.
Awesome. That's really exciting.
It's a great way to start the new year.
Yes.
That's a lot of fun.
So I'm kind of thinking there's, you know, a couple different types of people listening to this. There's some people that actually maybe have been thinking about joining West, or now that they've heard about it, maybe they want to. And then there's also the people that, you know, are really plugged in at the other campuses, Durham North and downtown. What do you say to those two different people? Like, how can they support? How can they get involved, you know, in Vintage West?
There's two things. It's sharing and praying. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with praying, because that can typically be the one that it's like, oh, of course I'm going to pray. But like, no, there's a lot going on, and it's more going on than what we see. Right? Let's just leave it at that. Like, we are waging war. We're setting up another battleground. We're claiming territory. And there's an enemy out there that wants like nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so I would say for anyone at Durham or north of downtown, just pray. And we really appreciate that. But the other thing, like I said, is sharing. I think we never realize like the networking, not even networking. We never realize the different folks that live in different area parts of the town, right? So if I share with a coworker, even if I may not live in Cary and Apex, maybe he doesn't live in Cary and Apex or Mooresville and Holly Springs, he may know someone who does. And it's just like the more that we share and talk about it, the more that it just gets the word out about West. And my thing is too, is it's not about West. It's like we should be sharing about Vintage Church anyways. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that like I'm going to plant West. But really, I'll say this, but like you won't find a church like Vintage Church very often, if anywhere. A place where doubters, seekers, and followers can come, and it's a safe place to engage in a investigation of who Jesus is. So many other places, it's like a blind faith of just assuming you walk in the door, you must believe, so let's talk about, you know, these 3 points of how to become a better follower, you know, that type thing. Yeah. And so my whole thing when I've been talking at Durham and North is like, just share about Vintage. If the person happens to live or has an interest in Cary and Apex, like let them know about West, but like, don't make this a West thing. Make this a, let's share about church and bring folks to church. So yeah, I would say definitely just sharing and praying. And the more we talk about it, the more folks hear about it. For the person who may be on the fence, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of just took the stance early in January that I wasn't going to try to twist anybody's arm, because I firmly believe this is a calling that God gives somebody. And if somebody comes because they feel like they're trying to do me a favor or because I guilt tripped them, they're going to hate it come January and February. Yeah. Hopefully you can ask anybody that's coming. They'll say that like I provided information, like I'll help you discern and I'll share more about West. But like I just firmly believe that God is going to call men and women to come to be a part of this church. When it gets hard, it's not, gosh, why did I let David mm-hmm. drag me into this? It's God called me to this. We talk a lot about love one here at Vintage. Who's just the one person that God has placed in your life that you can love with your life and share the gospel with? And for folks living in Cary and Apex, Holly Springs, Mooresville, Western Wake County, the chances are high that your loved one is there. For Lauren and I, and for our initial community group, that was one of the big drivers in this of like, well, if people aren't going to come to Vintage, let's bring a Vintage to them. And there were certainly more than that. Like there was obviously a calling and everything, but there was this fire that got kind of lit inside of us of like, man, these are our loved ones. These are the people that we want to see experience the gospel and experience Jesus in their lives. If they're not going to come to us, for lack of a better word, let's come to them. And certainly you can do that without a church. I'm not saying that the church is the only place you can do that, but that's part of what Vintage Church West is bringing a church that's going to contextually share the gospel and carry in Apex in Western Wake County. And so if you live out there and you have a loved one there, that might be a reason why to come to Vintage Church West, to invite your friends to come to that church with you, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's an opportunity to kind of embed yourself a little bit more inside of like your own local community there. And then maybe it's an easier putt to ask a friend to come, a neighbor, because it's just right down the road.
Yeah.
If someone's interested in learning more about West or joining, where can they find information?
So the best way to get information is actually to visit the website, which has been updated to add West, so vintagenc.com, and you'll see at the top all of our church locations like downtown, north, Durham, and you'll see West. And there you'll see just some information of who we are as a church and what we hope to do, our current community groups, some common Q&A, our schedule for the rest of the year. We'll talk about things like December and Christmas Eve and January 5th. But at the very bottom, it just says, if you're interested in learning more, fill out this form. And it's, I think it's literally your name and your email address. And so it's nothing crazy. And then I'll reach out to folks and just see what they want to talk about and share more about me and my story and their story.
Awesome. Thanks so much for talking to us today. It was awesome to hear more about you and about Vintage West.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what is going to happen over the next couple months and as you guys get going. So exciting times, and we'll be praying for you.
Appreciate it.